Father God, we thank you. We praise you. We magnify your name. We thank you, Father, that there is victory in Jesus Christ, Father. And Father God, we thank you for each and every person that's here tonight. We thank you that you have a plan and a purpose for their life, and they will fulfill that plan and that purpose. Father God, we thank you tonight when we go to study your word. We thank you that your word will not return void, but that word will penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us and help us to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. We thank you most of all that we'll take the word that we hear that brings forth life on the inside of us and share the love of Jesus Christ with the lost and dying and hurting world. Father God, we thank you for revival to this nation. We thank you for revival to this generation. We thank you for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst. And we thank you that we come not in our own strength, not in our own power, not in their own might, not in their own ability, but your strength, your power, your might, and your ability that you be lifted up. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit that lives big on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way and gives us utterance to speak with all boldness the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. But we thank you most of all for your anointing that's here tonight. Your anointing that in an instant just makes everything okay. We just stir that anointing up tonight. We stir it up on the inside, and we thank you that that anointing is here, it's present, and it is changing lives, Father. Father God, we thank you for mom and dad as they're there in Europe, and we thank you for many lives that are being touched, many hearts that are being changed, people that are being healed, people that are being set free. We thank you for all that, but also we thank you for giving mom and dad strength and wisdom and knowledge and help them to be able to be able to make it each and every day. We thank you for that anointing being strong over there, Father. And Father, we thank you for everything you have done and everything you are doing both here and around the world, and we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen, amen. You may be seated. Praise God. God's a good God. Amen. 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 So, you know, dad and mom, they're excited to be there in Greece. And I think, you know, whenever they were booking the European trip, they actually said they have to go to Greece because they wanted a Greek salad. And the Greek salad there in Greece is a whole lot different than a Greek salad here in the U.S. In fact, in the U.S., they put lettuce in it. Over there is no lettuce. And I don't know what's different. I'm not a big vegetable fan, but I love the Greek salad. I don't know what they do because, I mean, it's a pretty simple recipe, but I don't know. It just tastes a lot better over there. Maybe it's the fact that you're in Greece maybe makes it taste better. But like I said, that was their first night that they had off. But now what happened, though, they had the night off, but they spoke twice that morning before they got on the plane to get to Athens. So they had that night off, and they were able to enjoy the evening. And then actually, I say this morning, Sunday morning, of course, it's 8 hours ahead. It's like 2 in the morning right now, 2:27 actually. So this morning, they actually went and did some sightseeing. And then tonight, or this evening, their time, they had a meeting with some Rhema alumni and some other pastors in the area. And then tomorrow night, they have a meeting, another healing service tomorrow night in Athens there. And so, see, last time my parents went to Greece is right after dad had his knee replacement surgery, and so he wasn't able to see all the sights. And so they're going to see the sights, and then they're going to go up to Thessalonica, and they're going to see that, and they're going to see Philippi and some other things as well. So they're pretty excited about seeing, you know, the works of Paul and things that he did. And, you know, I was talking this morning, I remember when I was over there, and I was there at one of the main streets in Corinth, and I saw a pole, and I said, you know what, take my picture leaning against this pole, because I'm sure Paul probably leaned against this pole at some point in time, you know, the big marble thing. I'm sure he probably did. Now, maybe he never did, but at least, you know, it's a good story to say that Paul leaned against this pole, so I'm leaning against the pole. But it's pretty cool to know that, you know, I know he walked down that street because that was like Main Street. And so, you know, it's just cool to know that Paul or Jesus or whatever walked, you know, whenever you're going over to Israel and things like that, just to see that. And of course, my dad's really big on history. In fact, on the way back, they're going to stop by Malta. It's places where Paul went over there and ministered there. Plus, it was a good place to fill up on fuel for the airplane anyway. So, you know, they're having a wonderful time. I mean, like I said, they've been very, very busy. They have a meeting, like I said, tomorrow night. And then after that, I think they're going to do more sightseeing than they are actually ministering. So they're pretty excited about that. Just continue to pray for them. And, you know, like I said, they're, you know, I feel I'm getting old, but they're way older than me, you know. And I told my parents before they left, I said, I would never keep your schedule. I mean, basically, they're one country, then another country, then another country. I mean, day after day, I'm like, I need time to relax, you know, between that, you know, of course. And the thing about it is mom was the one, she said, well, I have my scripture, but it's not about mom. Mom's, you know, it's about dad. I mean, you know, so anyway, but things are going great. So they're doing wonderful. So tonight I want to minister on a subject that I minister on probably about once a year. I probably minister on this little story in the Bible. And some of you may or may not know, well, how do you get your messages? And so I'm going to tell you exactly. So this morning in Tulsa, we had Communion Sunday, and I preached a message that I've never preached before. And it was good, and I'll preach it sometime here on when we have communion, but we're not having communion tonight. So you know, I need to do something else tonight. And so the way I operate, I don't know how everybody else operates. I can't get, you know, if I'm going to preach a message, I have to go one at a time. So until I preach that message, I can't get my next message. It's just the way I operate. So even when I've done a week-long seminar, I mean, I get the first one, and then, you know, then I got a day or night or whatever it is to get the next one. But that's just the way I operate. Now, a lot of big churches, they actually have people on staff that sit around, a team will sit around, the pastor may or may not be part of it, and they'll create a message or create something. I'm not saying anything's wrong with it, but, you know, and I don't have that, or I don't know if I'd want to have that. And even if I did, I have to make sure, you know, something bear witness with me. So today I preach a message, and we're taking communion, and, you know, just they're passing out the elements. I was just praying, and all of a sudden it dropped in my heart this story here. And the Lord told me some things that he wanted me to share tonight. And so you know, that's why I'm sharing what I'm sharing. All right. So you know, that I'm just being honest because that's what the Lord said to share. I mean, he actually told me the story, and we're going to read about the man at the pool in Bethesda. And we've read it here in Oklahoma City, and probably about once a year I probably read this story. But we're looking at John chapter 5, verse number 1. I'm going to go ahead and read the whole story, and then we'll go back and look at it. I'm reading from the New King James here. It says, "After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition for a long time, he said to him, 'Do you want to be made well?' The sick man answered him, 'Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I'm coming, another steps down before me.' Jesus said to him, 'Rise, take up your bed, and walk.' And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed, and walked. And that day was the Sabbath." So here it is. I mean, they're at this big pool. And I always, you know, tell everyone, I kind of think about if you've ever gone to a water park, you know, if you've never gone to one, they have one here in Oklahoma City. You can, Whitewater Bay. And there's a thing called a wave pool. And I believe it's every half hour. Some places do it every 15 minutes. But every half hour, all of a sudden a bell rings and the waves start. And it's interesting because if you watch the wave pool, whenever the waves aren't going, there's not as many people in the pool. But as soon as that bell rings, everybody goes to the pool. Now I'm going to tell you the first experience I ever had at a water park. All right, I was not very smart. And not very old. All right. You know, the wave started, and I don't know how deep the wave pool, you know, starts out real shallow. I mean, actually, and it kind of gets deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And so the wave started, and just, you know, thinking, why go all the way around? I'm just going to jump into the deep end. So I just jumped. It's like 11 feet. I'm like, no big deal, it's 11 feet. But see, the thing about it is as soon as you come up, a wave hits you in the face, and then you're like, so it took me a little bit to, I kind of got a little bit scared, I guess, or if you want to say that. Now, thank God I didn't have to have a life jacket, I mean, a life, lifeguard throwing it, you know, that ring or anything in there. I was able to get over next to the wall and was able to navigate the waves. But next time I went to a wave pool, I walked in on the shallow end and kind of let, you know, gradually let the waves hit me, you know, because see, what's, if you're in an ocean, you don't just walk in at 30 feet deep. I mean, you come from the beach or whatever. So, you know, you gradually kind of get used to it. But anyway, it's kind of the same thing, except for a little bit different. I don't know who made the rules. I don't know who decided that this, you know, I don't know, you know, if there was a thing that says, hey, you know, angel comes here every once in a while. You know, I don't know how often it was. I don't know if it was once a day. I don't know if it's once a year. All I do know is that there were a lot of sick people here. And I don't know if you had to, you know, show your ID, you know, if only the really, really sick people were there. I mean, because you would think, like said, I always say this, that the person that was least sick would be the first one in. Yeah. Because they have more energy. All right. So the guy with the cold gets healed while the guy with cancer can't even get up. So I don't know if you had to show you were really, really sick or, you know, in order to get into the wave pool or the whatever. I don't know if you could camp out there. I don't know if these people like left and come back. You know, I don't know how the thing works because see, at a water park, you know that every 30 minutes or every 15 minutes or every hour, whatever it is, you know that there's a schedule. It seemed to be there was no schedule. It says whenever an angel came down. So you think about this. So here's a man that had been sick for 38 years. I don't know how long he'd been by the pool, but it seems like he'd been there a long time. You know, probably for 20 years, maybe for longer, maybe for all 38. I don't know. Day in and day out, you know. I understand a lot of people say, well, what do you do for a living? Well, I sat by the pool. I mean, people think, well, you could probably have a good tan or whatever, but it wasn't about getting a good tan. You know, it was about getting healed. Amen. All right. So here was all these sick people around this pool and they're waiting for an angel to come down. They're waiting. And I don't know how often, I don't know when, because it doesn't tell us in the Bible how often it was. You know, I don't know if they had any kind of foreknowledge that like every September or I don't know how it worked. Okay. So, you know, there are some things we read in the Bible we just don't know. And we, you know, everybody thinks that we know everything. No, I don't know. I don't know how it worked. I do know people sat there waiting for a long time. And this man, he even knew because he told Jesus, before I can even get there, someone else is going to jump in. So really, he basically had no hope. Yeah. But he sat there anyway. That's right. I mean, he sat there anyway. Because he was going to try. No matter what, he was going to do everything humanly possible to be the first person in that pool. Why? Because he desired a well body. And that's the only way that he knew how was to sit here long enough, you know, and obviously, you know, I always joke about, you know, what you should do is hire a younger guy that could throw you. And so, you know, and I don't know if there was a line that everyone had to stay behind, because, you know, I know when I go to pools now, they always have all these rules. I don't know back then if there was a rule around this pool or not. But, you know, I don't know if you had to stay behind the line and so, but I would try to hire a guy. Of course, you know, he probably didn't have any money because he was sick and couldn't work. But if you could get a guy to throw you, so when the water goes, they throw you and hopefully maybe you can get in beforehand. Hopefully you land far enough where you don't hit the side of the pool because that wouldn't be good. But if you go to YouTube, there's videos where people did that kind of stuff and you can watch them. They're kind of funny sometimes, but probably not for them. You know, here's this man who had no hope. He had no hope. But praise God, one day that Jesus came to visit him. And when he came to visit, obviously, you know, think about this. You know, how many have read the New Testament? Or how many read the Gospels? Right? Hopefully most of you have. And, you know, many times whenever we're reading the Gospels, we talk about Jesus, it says the multitudes were around him. He was kind of a pretty famous person. I mean, you know, he is the greatest person ever to walk the face of the earth. Pretty famous, yeah. All right? But somehow, some way, you know, maybe they didn't really know him much at that pool. I mean, you know, maybe they were stuck there at that pool and they didn't hear any news because evidently this man didn't know anything about Jesus. He didn't know about the miracles Jesus performed. He didn't know about Jesus turning the water into wine. He didn't know about Jesus feeding the 5,000. He didn't know about Jesus healing all these people. Because when Jesus got to this man, the man said, he said, do you want to get healed? And he said, yeah, sure, I'd like to get healed, but I can never beat anybody else in. So he didn't even know who Jesus was. He didn't know that Jesus had any kind of authority, any kind of power or anything, you know? And so he was just going to sit there and wait, But praise God that Jesus came to him. You know, and I believe that I don't know how it happened. I don't know. Obviously, you know, this guy was determined. And I believe his determination, he had faith. If he could be the first person in that pool, he could be healed. He knew it. But it wasn't going to happen. And I'm sure many times he probably cried out, said, God, you know, help everybody else trip so I can be the first person in. And don't tell me you don't think he prayed like that, you know, strike everybody else down so I'll be the first one in or whatever. But you know what? It's so awesome that Jesus came to him and he changed life. I mean, think about that. 38 years he'd been sick. I mean, think about having something for 38 years. And then, you know, then all of a sudden, in an instant, it was completely gone. Completely gone in one instant. 38 years. I mean, it's one thing to be, I know people, you know, that were in debt for years. And, you know, if it took 38 years to be out of debt, that was awesome. But whenever you're sick in your body, and obviously he can't move very fast. He was crippled. He was hurting. You know, and you have to understand, in those days, you know, they didn't have the kind of medication that we have today. I mean, they didn't have that technology and stuff. And so, I mean, you just had to tough it out. If you were in pain, you would have stayed in pain. Good thing about it, you can't get addicted to opioids or anything like that because you don't have no pain medicine. You know, you're kind of like back whenever I was playing sports. And he said, well, you know, the coach would just hit you on the backside and said, well, just tough it out. You know, I mean, it didn't matter. I mean, like, you know, you come out and you said, well, coach, my head's hurting and everything looks fuzzy. He looks at you and says, well, who's the president? You tell him who the president is. Get back in there. If you don't know who the president is, they give you some smelling salt. And then they tell you to get back in there. Nowadays, they set you out for 3 weeks. I mean, you know, it's just, you know, it's a different day and age. It was interesting. One of my sons, to play in football, doctor took him out, said he had a slight concussion, put him on the sideline, you know, and took his helmet off. Later on, the coach yelled, Hagen. He got picked up, helmet up, and threw him back out there. And so he said, so later on, he actually took another hit, and so the doctor pulled him off the field. And the coach says, why'd you come back in? He goes, coach, because you called me. I mean, that's what you did. When the coach called, you did it. I mean, that's just the way it is. So, but here's this man, you know, and not just this man. I mean, there were probably plenty of other folks that were there, and they were just waiting. They were waiting. And they weren't waiting on Jesus. They're waiting on an angel. But, you know, I believe today there's a lot of times that we sit around, we're going through, and you know, we're going through situations, whether it's healing or whether it's financial situations, and we're sitting there waiting for something to happen. We're waiting for somebody to change something. Do you realize Jesus has already came? He already came and he already died and he rose again. And all his power and authority has been given to us. And at the name, you know, we have that power and authority to claim. And so really, you know, for us to be waiting, I mean, there's nothing to wait on. There's nothing to wait on. And some people are waiting on Jesus. Now, everyone out there, well, they're waiting on the angel to come. And some people are waiting on an angel. And some people are waiting on, well, surely he's going to come by sometime. Surely if I cry long enough, Jesus is going to come by. But he's already with you. He doesn't have to come by. He's already here. And what the Lord said this morning, he says, you know what? You know, some people, what happens is they get in a situation and because they, you know, they're not looking at things through my eyes. They're not putting it on the mind of Christ. They're letting the devil beat them down. And they're just sitting here, you know, with their head down and waiting on something to happen. Oh, Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. But you know what? He's saying you're not alone. You're not by yourself. You're not sitting there at the edge waiting for anything. If you know who Jesus really is, amen, then you need to get up and you just say, you call upon his name.
Lord, yes.
Lord, help me.
Yes.
This is my situation. This is what I'm going through. This is what I need to do. Or you know, we have been told, I mean, the scripture that we use here, our keynote scripture, Mark 11, 22, 23, 24 says, if we got a mountain, speak to it. If you don't like what you're going through, then change your situation. Well, how do you do that? You speak.
Lord.
You speak. But so many times, you know, we read the word, we kind of know the word, but you know what? We're still waiting. Well, Lord, do something. Please do something. Please do something. Please. You know, it is interesting because we read other stories like the one with the issue of blood. What'd she do? She went out and touched the hem of Jesus' garment.
That's right.
Because she had heard. See, but when you haven't heard anything, you don't know what to do. This man couldn't do that because he never heard about Jesus. He didn't even recognize Jesus. But I'm here to tell you today that you've heard about Jesus.
God.
You know what the word is. I mean, this morning I spoke a message called Remembering Jesus, because, you know, when we take communion, we says to remember Jesus. You know, but I started thinking, if you don't know him, you can't remember him. And the way to know Jesus is to read the word. And, you know, I don't know how many times that I heard my grandfather answer people's questions. I never ask him questions like this anymore because I know I was the answer, so why would he even ask him the question? But whenever they would ask him questions about their self or whatever, and his answer would always be, what does the word say? And if they couldn't tell him what the word says, he said, well, the first thing you need to know is find out what the word says about that situation. What does the word say about it? And so if you don't know what the word says, you can't change anything. And he said the number one reason why people do not get healed, is people don't get their needs met, is they don't know what the word says. Find out what the Bible says. Find out a scripture for something. Stand on a scripture, whatever it might be. And I don't mean literally stand on the scripture. My dad, he does that sometimes. He'll put his Bible down. He stands on the scripture, you know. And I guess that's fine. He's trying to show, you know, standing on the word. You know, the thing about having devices in scripture, if I stand on this, I'm going to crack it, and I'm going to have to go to the Apple store and get me a new one. So please do not stand on your device, okay? But standing on the word is knowing what the scripture says and act like it, being a doer of God's word. But this morning, the Lord was saying so many people are waiting around like the people on the porches. And they're thinking, you know, they're singing that song, All By Myself. You know, I don't have anybody. I'm all by myself. And Jesus is up there saying, you know what, guys, I'm right with you. I'm here with you. You're not all by yourself. You're never alone. One of my first messages ever I preached was you're never home alone. Based on the movie Home Alone. But with Jesus, you're never home alone, because he said he'll never leave you nor forsake you. So if he's never leaving you or forsaking you, he can never leave you home alone. So when you're sitting on the porch, you know, waiting for the moving of the water, he's right with you. And you don't have to wait for anything. You know, but so many Christians, we're waiting. We're waiting. God, do something. God, do something. God, do something. But see, Jesus is waiting on you. What you're supposed to be a doer of the word.
Amen.
So Jesus is saying, when people are saying, God do something or Jesus do something, they're crying down, you do something.
That's right.
You do something.
That's right.
Don't be a waiter. Yeah. You know, I don't mean you can't work at a restaurant, okay? If you work at a restaurant, that's fine. You can be a waiter, okay? But or now it's a server, not a waiter anymore. It's a server, you know. And so I'm going to tell a joke. I mean, sometimes, because see what happens, my brain thinks so fast, and I have to tell this because I'm laughing about it on the inside. You know, I think they changed the word server instead of waiter, because see, too many people are a restaurant, and they say, man, it's taking forever. Well, because he's a waiter. You know, that's why it takes forever. I mean, you know, so now the server's a lot faster than a waiter. So if you want a waiter, it might take you a little longer. And he's like, you know, what do you expect? I'm a waiter. Anyway. Okay, went over everyone's head. Quit waiting on Jesus. Stop waiting when he's already here. You know, and I don't know, I guess, I don't know if it was religious tradition or bad theology or whatever. I mean, you know, people used to sing, well, come by here, Lord, come by here. And, you know, well, he's already there. How can he come somewhere where he's already? All right. You know, you can't be waiting on him. He's already there. He's with you.
Lord.
I mean, you know, and I know a lot of people, they're praying, Lord, come down here and do something. Well, you know, 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ did something.
Lord.
All right. That's right. He said his last word on the earth before he died was, it is finished. My work on earth is finished.
Amen.
Because it's done. I mean, you know, basically he was saying your sickness, your disease, your problems or whatever, they're done with. I'm taking them with me right now.
Yes.
And he went down to hell and he defeated the devil. And then he arose to the right hand of the Father.
Hallelujah.
And see, until that happened, yeah, we had to wait on Jesus. Jesus, I mean, until that happened, you had to go find Jesus. And you know, and then he could heal him. I mean, that's all we could do. That's why we read so many stories, like the one with the issue of blood, that they came to him. That's why multitudes came. Because the only way to get healed was to find Jesus. You know, kind of like finding Waldo or whatever. I mean, you know, and we have to understand, you know, it is so, and I try to think about and picture myself, especially if you've ever, like I said, been in, you know, in ancient Rome or these places, you know, there in Greece or there in Jerusalem. And I try to think about what it was like back then. You understand, I mean, you know, I know some of you might remember life before TV, but you probably had a radio. I mean, you know, you heard news. I mean, you had announcements. Now, at one time, I know my dad used to talk about, you know, they would go to a movie theater, well, when it wasn't a sin. It used to be a sin to go to a movie theater, but when they outlawed that being a sin, you know, my parents said they would go to a movie theater, and before the movies, they would kind of give the news, but especially like during the war and whatever, you know. But see, nowadays, you know, we don't even, you know, when I grew up, if you want news, you had to wait till 10 o'clock, and they had the nightly news or whatever. Now it's 24/7. I mean, as soon as something hits, boom, we get a notification that this is going on. I mean, you know, I don't care. It's like, interesting. I mean, there's somebody right now. I mean, you know, you realize news reporters aren't really allowed in North Korea, but as soon as they shoot a rocket or do anything, CNN or somebody sends me a thing, you know, Rocket Man just launched a new rocket. You know, I mean, well, how do you, there's nobody in North Korea. They don't have a correspondent. It's not like, you know, we're going to go to Wu Chang in North Korea here and get a story. There's nobody there. Well, how'd they know? Because, you know, they know everything. I mean, it's, you know, immediate. It's immediate. Plus, there's probably somebody leaking it from some government office, you know, saying, you know, James Comey or somebody's over there leaking something. More truth of that than we probably know. Not him, I'm sure. I mean, but we know everything immediately. But and so realize how hard it might, you know, must be to find Jesus back then. I mean, he didn't have a schedule, you know. I mean, you couldn't wake up in the morning and get the Jerusalem Times and find out where Jesus is saying, you know, he didn't send us monthly newsletters, say, you know what, I'm gonna be here, I'm gonna be there, or whatever. You just had to find him. But evidently a lot of people found him because there's always multitudes around him. It was interesting, you know, whenever you read, you know, stories where he came by boat, as soon as he got to that place, there were people already there waiting.
That's right.
I'm thinking, you know, how did, you know, I guess what happened is some boat, you know, someone got the word and they traveled their boat ahead of Jesus' boat. You know, Jesus must have had a slow boat. The guy had a speed boat. He had a bigger motor. That's a lie because there wasn't motors back then. Okay, I just want to let everybody know, you know, but, you know. There wasn't horsepower, it was manpower. See, now some people say, well, I have whatever, you know, an engine that's so many horsepower. Back then it was manpower, you know. And, you know, some men had more power than other men, you know. And probably disciples, you know, maybe they were a little wimpy or whatever. They weren't as good as some of these big guys that were rowing the boat. And, you know, and that's, if you ever sang the song, Row, Row, Row Your Boat, well, that was back in their time. That was what it was. Row, Row, Row Your Boat. That's how you got it. So I guess somebody got across the river, and just went and told all their friends and whatever. I don't know how it happened. It's wherever he showed up, boom, everybody's there. You know, and that's not, you know, in our day and age, I mean, that's, people know. I mean, you had a newsletter. I mean, I know that there's probably certain people, whether it's a minister, whether it's a singer. I mean, you know, people book a concert, you know, downtown Oklahoma City, everybody knows about it. They show up, you know, because, you know, some people go to the concert, some people can't afford to go to the concert. Some of them show up and sit outside the concert, maybe waiting for a glimpse of the bus whenever they're coming. I don't know. People are crazy. But back then, man, they had to get to Jesus. But you don't got to be looking for nobody. He's right there with you at all times. He's always with you. And what the Lord has told me this morning, and in a few quick instances, it said, quit waiting. Quit waiting. Quit trying to call and ask me to do anything. You're there. You have the authority to speak to your problem. Now, in this situation, this person's problem was he need healing. Now, that's a you know, we have scripture for that. You realize that? Scripture.
Amen.
It says, by his stripes, we were healed.
Amen.
So we have scripture for that. So we can, you know, so when did that happen, Craig? Well, 2,000 years ago, he took the stripes on the back. And actually, you know, what's really cool about that scripture is we can go back to Isaiah way before that, even, you know, I mean, Jesus wasn't on the earth or anything like that. And we have scripture then that says, by his stripes, you're going to be healed. And then he fulfilled that 2,000 years ago. And so we already have the word. So we don't have to sort of, well, I wonder if it's God's will to heal me. Maybe I haven't been good enough. I mean, but we don't have to say that because we know what does the word say? The word says that the stripes were taken upon his back for your healing. And I always point out, you know, that Jesus could have died on the cross for your sins without taking the stripes on his back. But he took it a step further. He took the stripes. And that was one reason, like I said, today we have communion. And he said, talking about my body, his body was broken for you. He took the stripes so that we can be healed. But I mean, you know, everything that we have is because of Jesus and because of what he did. And you know, what's happening now is people, for whatever reason, they keep waiting on Jesus. And they're saying, well, if I sit here long enough, I mean, that took the guy, I don't know, the guy was, he was there for 20-something years probably. So maybe in 20-something years, I can get my healing too. Maybe Jesus will come by my house. You know, and hopefully none of you are waiting 20-something years if you already need to pray for you. But I do know, I mean, I've heard people even tell me, hey, brother so-and-so is coming to our town in a month. I'm going to get healed. Why would we want a month? Why wait a month? You know, because see, the Bible actually clearly says, it says, believers shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover.
Amen.
So literally what it says, if you'll just find someone who's a believer, I would say this. I mean, you know, what you should do is to go somewhere where a lot of people are, you know, whether it might be the mall or whether it might be a sporting event. And you walk around, you say, are you a believer? Are you a believer? And you find somebody. It wouldn't be that hard because according to statistics, more than 80% of Americans are believers. And so, and especially here in our state, here in Oklahoma, it's not very hard to find someone who's a believer. Now, they might not believe everything like you, but you can show them, hey, you tell me you're a believer. I'm gonna go on this scripture right here. It says that believers shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So whether they believe it or not doesn't really matter. If they're a believer, lay hands on me.
Amen.
That works. You know, but you know, some people are waiting for somebody special to lay hands on it. It doesn't say if someone special lays hands on you, you shall be made well. It says, if a believer will lay hands. But, you know, when you say, well, that doesn't work for me because you can have what you say you can have.
Yeah, that's right.
The reason it doesn't work for you because you don't believe it works for you. You don't have any faith that it's going to work, so it doesn't work. See, things don't work if you don't believe it works. All right? I mean, it's just not going to work. You know, and there's some people, I don't know how they live. Some people are so negative in this world. Everything they do is negative. I know they watch CNN all the time because some of those people are negative. You know, I mean, I don't know. I just can't be negative. How can I be negative when I'm with, when I have Jesus?
Sorry.
I have a secret weapon with me at all times. So I always look at things positive, you know, and I've even spoke like this. I mean, I have the we mentality. It's me and Jesus. You know, and some people think when I say we, my wife and I, maybe it is my wife and I and Jesus, or my family and I and Jesus, but you know, I always include Jesus in my equation. And that's where we're missing it sometimes. We're not including Jesus in our equation. We're not realizing that he's right there whenever we're going through our battles. Amen. He's right there when we're going through our storms. He's right there whenever we're going through our ailments. And whatever we're going through, we don't have to sit by on the porch and wait for some kind of stirring of the water. We don't have to wait for Jesus. Praise God, Jesus did come and he ministered to this man. But we don't have to wait for that. See, at that point in time, yeah, he had to wait for that because the only way he knew how to get healed was waiting for the stirring of the water. But Jesus had another way. He said, you know what? I'm going to speak and you're going to be healed. But then, you know, they always say the actions speak louder than words because, you know, at some point in time, he made the action on the cross. He died. And because he died, now he doesn't have to speak anymore. We have to speak.
Amen.
It's up to us to speak.
Yes.
It's up to us to call things not as though they are. It's up to us to speak to our situation.
Yes.
We have been given the power and authority. And if we don't like the way we're living, then change it. Well, how do you change it? You speak to it. Not one time, every day speak to it. Thank the Lord that your situation's changing. Your situation's changing. Whatever it is, I don't care what your situation is, whether it's financial, physical, emotional, I don't care what it is. You can speak to that situation. Now here's this thing, is the reason people have trouble is because the devil's always speaking against that situation. He's like trying to tell you, hey, things aren't really changing, are they? It's been weeks, it's been months, and things haven't changed. You know, but we're not moved by what we see.
Right.
We're not moved by what we feel. Sometimes we feel things aren't changing. But we are only moved by what we know. What does the Bible say? What does the Word say? You know, and I know that there have been many times, you know, that it doesn't look like it's going to happen. But it's not about what it looks like. It's about what you know. What do you know? What is about me? And so can you believe? The Bible says, if you can believe, all things are possible.
That's right.
Remember that? If you can believe.
That's right.
If you can believe. Not if I can believe. If you can believe. Because many people think, well, you know what? I'm going to come to the pastor and he's going to believe for me. It's not how it works.
Amen.
Now, the pastor can agree with you.
Yes.
They can agree with you. But and that was, that's the whole thing. That's what my grandfather got a hold of, and that's why he released the book a long time ago, The Believer's Authority, or The Authority of the Believer.
Yes.
He was trying to say, because in generations past, it was all about coming to the pastor to get your healing or your blessing or whatever. You know, but he tried to point out, because the Lord showed him, that it's you have the authority.
That's right.
In Christ Jesus. And it all happened because of Calvary. And now we've been given the authority. And sometimes it doesn't look like things, but see, what happens is you're looking through your own mind. The Bible talks about putting your thoughts under, putting your mind under. Look at things from Jesus' perspective. And it might look like to you, it looks like, man, this is impossible. The things that are impossible to man are possible with God. With God, all things are possible. That's what the Bible says. I mean, it's just not there to be there just for, you know, just for the fun of it. I mean, you know, I mean, scriptures aren't there just for the fun of it. They're there to lean on. You know, and that's what I said. My grandfather always would say, what does the Word say? You know, and that's what my mom's saying. He said, I have the scripture. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And I know my mom lives by that scripture. I guarantee you she does. I know there's been days that she's so tired and, you know, she's having issues. And I know she'll be quoting that all day long. Every time she's tired, instead of saying I'm tired, she says I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Now, there also is times that physically we need to rest too, okay? I mean, there's sometimes a thing called stupidity that we book our schedule too much. But sometimes we can't help it. We weren't planning for this. We weren't planning for that. When, you know, and the more kids you have and the more activities they have, the more you get spread out. You know, and you know, so So maybe you think about that when you're planning your family. Maybe I don't want to have five kids because, you know, I mean, you know, I remember one day I was trying to help coach three baseball games going on at the same time. Because I was assistant coach on all three of my kids. You know, if you're assistant, you know, the reason I won the head coach because I was trying to go to some of the, you know, and I got three kids playing the same time at the same fields. And in fact, Skyler was, he was playing T-ball, so bless their hearts. I mean, you know, it's not that big a deal. Nobody keeps scoring anyway, so nobody really cares who wins, all right? So I had Blake and Cameron playing, and so I was actually standing, you know, in center field because the way it was, I could see both sides. In center field, then I would go around. I had to coach the bases on one of the teams because we, you know, they didn't have a third base coach. So I just watched them, and I go back and see Cameron played center field too. So I was able to stand right behind him. So it was kind of cool. But I'm over here trying to help coach two teams same time, yelling at the outfielders over here. You know, then you know, you just get spread thin sometimes. But you know what? You weren't not planning all those kind of things. But you know what? You can make it. You can do it. And you know. You can do all things through Christ that gives you the strength. And I said, my mom, she believes that. And so, I mean, it's interesting at work. A lot of times she'll, you know, call me in and tell me that, you know, we got to do something. And some of, you know, a lot of times we means me. Now, that doesn't mean I have to do it. It means I have to figure out how to do it. Doesn't mean, you know, I got to figure out either how to do it or try to figure out who I can delegate to do it. You know, and a lot of times, you know, there was one thing I'm like, I don't know how to do that. And my mom says, I'll figure it out. The Bible says you can do all things that strengthens you. I mean, you can do it. So, I mean, you know, so I'm delegating you to do it. I don't care if you know how to do it. And so then I started saying, I said, Mom, we can do it, but it might be expensive. All right. But if you want to do it, we're going to do it. You know, and if you've ever been to our church in Broken Arrow, we're the only church or the only place in the world that we've been able to find that has a globe that comes down from the sky, spins around, and lights up. I mean, we even called all your theme parks. We called Disney. We called everybody to figure out if somebody else has done it, and nobody else has done it because we figured, you know, maybe we could buy it from somebody else. Nobody else has done it. And so, but that was a dream that my dad had. We're going to do that. And so, you know, so we did it. And as far as we know, there's nobody else, because mom, dad's like, well, yeah, I know there's hydraulics and things come from the ceiling, and how hard is it to put lights and the spin? I mean, you know, those are all things that can happen. So we have the only globe. And it's interesting, as soon as that globe comes down and spins around, I mean, people are taking pictures like crazy. You know, and if you've never seen it, you know, it's an awesome thing. Probably you can Google it, and I'm sure, you know, you can probably see videos or whatever. But it's an incredible thing. And really that, what it actually is it's a signification of where our graduates are all over the world. And it's amazing, you know, what we've been able to accomplish. You know, now we have actually, we have almost 85,000 Rhema graduates. You know, we have 251 Bible schools. And it's amazing, you know, and what's amazing is that my grandfather, whenever the Lord told him to start a Bible school, in his own mind, this wasn't, the Lord didn't say this, but he said, if we can just train 50 students a year, it'll be good. You know, we can make a dent and we made more than a dent. You know, 85,000 almost. It's like 84,700 and some odd to give you the exact figure. And, you know, it's just so awesome. You know, but what I want to tell you today is quit waiting. Amen. Quit sitting around. Get off your porch. You know, there's not, I don't mean literally off your porch, but, you know, get your rear up, okay? Do something. Jesus is with you. You don't have to wait for him. You're not by yourself. See, this man told Jesus, I have no man, but you have the man. You can't say I don't have anybody, because you have the greatest man ever to walk the earth with you, leading you, guiding you, and at all point in time. So you're never by yourself. So never be singing that song all by myself anymore. If you want to sing the song, fine, but you're not really all by yourself. All right? No. I understand it wasn't about Jesus. It's about, you know, They didn't have a significant other, and so they were feeling all by themselves. But when you're feeling all by yourself, I want you to remember, if you ever hear that song ever again, remember you're never all by yourself.
Amen.
Remember, Jesus is with you. You know, and I understand sometimes you might not be singing the song, but you're feeling that way. You feel that no one's with you. But he is. He's always with you, never by yourself. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for these fine folks, Father. We thank you, Father, that you're always with them, that you're always leading them, you're always guiding them, that you're always helping them through every situation and help them to understand that they don't have to wait on Jesus, but Jesus is waiting on them, Father. Father, we just thank you right now, if anyone is here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they won't leave this place without making him their Lord and Savior. Or maybe you're here tonight and you say, Craig, at one time I walked with Jesus, but I've kind of turned my back and went away, and I want to rededicate myself to God. If that's you, if you're here tonight, you've never been saved, or you want to be rededicate your life to God, just lift your hand right now. We want to pray with you. We want to pray with you. I don't see any hands. Father God, we thank you if anyone is here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We thank you for sending laborers across their path on a daily basis. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Let's all stand up. Is there anybody here that needs healing in their body? Anyone needs healing? If you need healing in your body, I want you to come down here. We want to minister God's healing power to you. All right? So if anyone need healing, if you need healing, lift your hand. All right?